Well, welcome to class tonight. Me and Miss Paula talked right after Easter, around the Easter time, that we would start a series of preaching between me and her. And she presented to me what you're going to be hearing for the next few weeks and probably the next few months, okay? And it talks about the price that was paid, the promise that was given, and the plan that was told to the disciples, which is us, okay? The price paid, the promise that was given. And you're going to hear about that. When she presented that to me, immediately in my spirit, I felt that we must address prior to these three, before we ever talk about the price that was paid, the promise that was made, the plan that was given, we must talk about something else, okay? And little did I realize when she was giving this to me, because she had prayed over this to put this together, that the Holy Spirit would awaken me at 2:30 on Thursday morning, and that I would be speaking not even 10 hours or 8 hours after that. And it was an incredible revelation and anointing. And the Lord began to stir my heart before we ever talked about the price. And we were just coming out of Easter, okay? And we just talked about, the celebration of His coming into Jerusalem. We remember we preached about those four things that night on Friday night and Thursday. The celebration of His coming into Jerusalem, that triumphant entry on Palm Sunday. And then we talked about the crucifixion and what took place there at the cross. We talked about the communion, and we addressed, so many people came back to me and responded, even with text, and said, thank you for expounding more on why we do communion. Why do we do it? We've been told to do it, but we've not really been, we read the scriptures, but we haven't really been taught about why do we do communion. So we addressed that issue on a Friday night. And then that fourth part, not only was a celebration of the crucifixion, the communion, but we ended that one on the Great Commission, how it was left up to us to carry on what God had started or what Jesus has started, and we are to finish what He started. And that is where we are. We're in, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. We're in the Great Commission time, okay? Did you get that? We're in the Great Commission. Now, if you want to understand what that is, then go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go to Mark. I love Mark because Mark gave, now Scofield said it's not part of the original, but I love what Mark gave us in that 16th chapter of Mark, talking about the Great Commission. So I told Paul, so we can't go into these till we understand what was behind the price that was paid. Not Christ's part, but God's part. Did you get that? Not just Christ's part, but what was God's part in the price? What was God's part in the promise, in the plan? And so the Lord began to direct me to the hub of all the scriptures. There's 30,000 verses in the Bible. John, we're going to go, and I don't know if he's got it. John 3:16 is where we're going, Don. He sent me and carried me to the hub of the scriptures. And we've been quoting them since we were a child. We have quoted John 3:16 since we were children. We were taught it in Sunday school, in Bible school. I remember us teaching our little girl John 3:16, and she would get up on a stool, and I think she probably did it with my dad. My dad was still alive, and she would quote John, farting in her little baby voice, "For God so loved the world." She's always been a drama queen, and she just, she went through the whole dramatics of it, that He gave His only begotten Son. And I'll tell you, we got that on video somewhere. So we'll show that maybe the night she gets married when she's about 48. And the Lord directed me that we got to go to the hub of the scriptures to understand what was behind the price. We know about Christ and what he done. We know about his cat of nine tails. We walked you through those four things. But what lies behind that? And the hub of all the scriptures tells us what it is. And we've quoted it. And so here it is. John 3:16 tells us. And we've got the monitor that I won't have to turn my back anymore. And we got the stand. We just got to put it up that I can read right up here and not turn my back on you. It's already bought and paid for. We just got to get it mounted. For God so. He didn't say God loved the world, but God so. When you add that S, that little, you don't realize that two-letter word is mighty. For God so loved the world. I mean, he emphatically loved the world. I mean, this was his heart. This was this was who God is, his world. God so loved the world. And can I help you with something tonight? God still loves the world. Okay, are you listening to me? And God still loves the people that are in the world. Hello? God so loved the world that he gave. Okay? In my notes, I am breaking it down for God. Okay? We'll get to that. Don't get to that right now. That whosoever believeth, that's you and that's me, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then it says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We're going back to John 3:16 tonight, and we're going to break it down. We're only going to talk about two words tonight. That's all we're going to talk about, okay? We're not going to talk about any other verse of the verses, or the part of the verse. We're probably going to talk about them down the road. I know we will talk them down the road. I've got my outline right here in front of me, what the Holy Spirit gave to me at 2:30. Two words tonight. We're going to talk about for God. Because you can't have Jesus if you don't have God. Hello? You want to talk about the price? The price is God's Son. God sent his begotten Son. That's the great price that was paid. God gave his Son for the sins of the world. For God. For God. When I think about how big God, I'm going to ask this question tonight. I was praying over this. Well, maybe not a show of hands, but have you thought lately how big your God is? If you haven't, you need to pause every now and then. And you need to think about how big your God is. You got a big God on your side. You got a big, big God on your side. A big God. For God so loved the world. For God. Who is God? What did God do? Who is this God? How did we hear? Where did we first hear about God? Well, way back in Genesis. Right, way back in, what did it say? What did the very first Genesis 1 say? In the beginning, God, all of a sudden, on the corner of nowhere's in the middle of nothing, God shows up on the scene, Larry. I'm talking about in the middle of nowhere's on the corner of nothing. There was nothing there. It was chaos. It was no order. It was darkness. It was the face of the deep. We talked about that weeks and weeks ago. And God shows up, and the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the God I'm talking about. I'm telling you, how big is God? I don't know. I'd have loved to have been standing, somewheres in the darkness of eons, looking out through the telescope of time at God. And there's God standing on the corner of nothing in the middle of nowheres. And he says, I'm going to create the heavens and the earth. And he spoke, and the heavens came into existence. The solar system that we knew, he just flung them out with his fingers. I can just see God just flinging them out. And saying, solar system, you're there, and heavens, you're there, and stars, you're there. And oh boy, he said, you know what? I got to keep this thing warm enough. So he just slung the sun out at 93 million. I'm telling you, when God throws it, he throws it 93 million miles away from the earth he created. 93. You can't even fathom that. 93 million miles away. Why so far away? Well, he didn't say 93 miles and 50. That would have froze us to death.
Wow. Yeah.
He didn't say 93, whatever two and 875, whatever, No. Why? Because that would have burned us up.
Yeah.
God put it right in the right place at the right time. It really bothers me when we talk about how little God is. That's why I asked you. I was praying about that. And God, the Holy Spirit whispered, said, ask the people tonight, when was the last time they stopped long enough to really think how big God is? So the first word tonight, out of the eight words or nine words we're going to talk about, is the word providence. You're taking notes? You want to write that one down. Providence. 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 Somebody help me here. What does providence mean? Somebody go for it. What does the word providence mean?
God orchestrated.
God orchestrated? Remember, anybody go to your notes that you took on that Thursday morning? Providence, providence, providence. Yes, that's right. You're going to hear what Don just said. Providence, the providence of God. Can I tell you tonight, there's only one reason you're here on a Friday night, that somewheres on your journey, the providence of God stopped you from going to hell and saved you and put the Holy Spirit inside of you and put you inside church and put inside of you the love for God and the love to read His Bible. There was only one thing. He said, well, wait a minute, Robert. There was a preacher preaching that night. Well, I want to tell you, that preacher preached that night on the providence of God. That may have not been what he titled it, but in that providence of God, God halted you and turned you around. I remember plainly that night on March the 26th, 1972, in a little holiness church in Alabama that my great-grandmother and great-grandfather had built in honor of my grandfather being healed of unleavened fever. That night when Dennis Slavens preached on the message where David said, is there not a cause? And at 16 years of age, the providence of God stepped on me and threw up a roadblock and said, I will not let you die and go to hell. Why? Because my mama and my grandmothers and my great-grandmothers and grandfathers had been praying that the providence of God would get a hold of me and turn my life around. God forbid the preacher that gets up and says, I'm preaching a little thought this morning. I'm going to preach on God for a little while. I've heard him say it. How can you preach on God and call it a little thought? God is massive. God is big. Oh, I wish I could tell it big enough tonight. The providence of God. You don't understand how much the providence of God is in your life. God said there in the book of Genesis that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and providence stood up, providence of God stood up and created the world that we live in. That is the providence of God. That's the God that you should know. That's the God you pray to. That's the God you should love with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. That is the first commandment. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love God tonight? Do we love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind? Do we put God first in our life? The providence for God. And there it is. Now, before we go any further, we got to understand. He said, for God. Not for Buddha. Not for Muhammad. Not for Joseph Smith. Or whoever the other ones are. The great thing about those guys that were leaders to their religion, they all died. And somewheres, they're still there. By now, we won't go into the decomposing of a body, but now they're just bones in a mausoleum somewheres. If it's linen on Moss Red Square, who cares? But somewheres on a jagged hill in Jerusalem that we stood by, there's an empty tomb, Esther. Praise God. And our God is alive and well. Oh, many years ago in the 60s, they said, God's dead. God is dead. Remember the hippie movement? You were part of it, Melvin. Remember the hippie movement, you know, the hippie movement, the 60s. Free love and drugs, and God is dead. You know what? If God is dead, I never got the announcement to the funeral, and I'm His son. Nobody ever told me my father died, and he is not dead. He's alive and well on this planet Earth, and he's got a plan, and he's got a program, and he's paid a price, and he's left us a promise. Understand that there is the providence of God working in our life. I will say this tonight. People say, well, you know, I hear people say all the time, well, God's in control. God is not in control. Don't ever tell me that. God is not in control. If God was in control, there'd never be a murder. Yeah. If God's in control, there'd never be a rape. If God's in control, there would never be an abortion of a child. He is not in control. The devil, the prince of this air, is doing every diabolical. Let me tell you what's happening in the and it is a sad place that has come to our nation's capital and Washington, and the world is looking on and laughing and saying, "Are you kidding me? Let them continue fighting, the Democrats, the Republicans, the conservatives, the liberals." And I mean, calling the president's son, subpoenaing him, thinking about they're gonna impeach the president. It is so sad what's happened to the political world. Can I tell you? Listen to me tonight. Listen to me. It is not a political battle that's being fought. Are you listening to me? It is a battle of spiritual wickedness in high places, is what the writer said. Just in the state of Virginia, 3 weeks ago, the Secretary of Education for that state, a Muslim, laid his hand on the Quran, and they swore him in the state of Virginia. That's over all the education of that state. It is not a political war anymore. It's a war between darkness and light, good and evil, and it's the devil. It is the same old booger man that was in the Garden of Eden that spoke to Eve and said, "Did not God say that?" And she believed the lie, bought into it, I mean, committed to sin. Her and her husband were thrown from the garden. I never knew where they ever got back to God in the Bible. And all of a sudden, we see this diabolical war that's going to start, and it's between God and it's between Satan. Are you getting me tonight? It's between God and it's Satan. It is, okay? It is the heavenly against the hellish. Do you understand that we're living on a terrestrial ball called Earth? But there is a celestial place that's called heaven. So we got the celestial and we got the terrestrial, but we got the underworld. Did you get what I just said? When heaven was created, God created angels that they could worship Him. They're not saved beings. They don't know what salvation is. They know when salvation comes. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I just thought about that one. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, reminding me. They know when salvation comes because the Bible says they rejoice every time somebody comes into the kingdom of God. Did you get what I just said there? I mean, heaven has a party when somebody gets right with God. So they were created to worship God. Well, Lucifer, he was the star of the morning. I mean, to tell you, he was this brilliant being. He was the angel of light. I mean, he could play instruments. He loved music. And he said, you know what? I'm going to exalt myself above God. His number one first original sin was what? Pride. I can be God. I'll be God. But you know what? There was a war in heaven. And what happened? He got cast out. But not only him, but how many more? Are you kidding me? He's that powerful. That he was that powerful to carry a third with him. And now they're underneath in the spirit world. They're underneath this demonic world, and this diabolical war is going on between the terrestrial, and it seems like, are y'all ready for this tonight? It's the celestial and the underworld, but it's taking place on this earth. Why? Because he wants it.
Yes, he does.
Did you hear what I said? He wants this world. But I got news for you. I have already read the last chapter of the book. You ought to get excited about this one. I have read the last chapter of the book and we win. We win. And not only do we win big. We win big because there's going to come a time that old slew foot, I'm talking about that flea-bitten, snarly old booger man that's just deceiving people and doping people and getting people raped and getting people killed and getting children aborted. It is nothing but a satanic force of hell. There'll be a day that God will say it's over and providence is going to step in and say, you are done. Your days are gone. And he's going to take him and cast him into a lake of fire. Somebody ought to get excited about that tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he's going to throw him in a lake of fire and there'll be no more abortions. There'll be no babies crying anymore. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more death. And we're going to inherit all things. It's all because of one thing, the providence of God. The providence of God. The providence of God here. Notice that word, for God. If you looked at that word providence tonight, if you look at the word providence, what's those first four letters telling you?
Proof.
But then let's look at the end, the other part of it. Evidence. Proof and evidence that there's a God. Hallelujah. Proof. And evidence. Proof. God proving and evidence every day of her life that there's a God. Proof and evidence. Proof. He proves to us his love. And that, I can't get ahead of myself, but that's the second part. That word, so love, that's the proof part. God didn't just say, I love. God said, I'm going to prove it. It's one thing for you to tell me you love me, but I want you to prove it every now and then. Hello? Well, my wife got that one. I'll say that again. You know, it's one thing to say you love me, but prove it every now and then. Amen. God didn't just love us. God proved it.
Amen.
And I got the proof. And his proof is that he gave his only son. Proof. You need proof? Give me proof. Give me proof. That's what they argue for in the lands, the courts of the lands. Give me some evidence. Give me some evidence. You know, they got an evidence room, okay, and they've got all the things that were collected in there. That lawyer will stand up and say, Judge, I want you to place this in evidence here. And it's evidence, and it's evidence of that we got evidence on this guy that, or this girl. We have evidence that they have committed this crime. And if they provide enough evidence, okay, they're going to be judged for that crime. Did you get that? Praise God. But let me tell you about this. There was an evidence proved a while back on the cross for us. The evidence that God loved us hung on the cross. The evidence that God cared for us hung on the cross. The evidence. Can't we get excited about the evidence? You know, what has happened to the church world? We have got so desensitized to good preaching and anointed preaching. We love stories. Tell us some jokes. I mean, I can't believe when I go on Facebook, all the comedians they've got coming into their churches today in their pulpit, I thought, are you kidding me? What has happened to us? I don't mind a comedian. Just don't bring him into the church. Amen. Go down to Sprint Center. It's not a place for comedians. It's a place for a man of God to preach the word. We got people dying and going to hell. We don't comedian telling jokes trying to, well, I got to warm the crowd up. I hope they're not that cold. Evidence. Evidence. Proof and evidence. Oh, praise God. I'm so glad that the evidence that was against me, Melvin, I had some evidence against me, and I was heading to the judge. But I am so glad that Providence stepped in and took care of my evidence. Providence stepped in and took care of my evidence. There is an all-seeing eye watching over you. There is the affairs of the church, the affairs of men that God is working on. And God, just as much as Satan took a third of his angels and they became his demons or his imps, and they go at his beck and call, and there's demonic spirits. And I think it was, I'm trying to think, it was Hal Lindsey that wrote this, the late Satan is alive and well on this planet Earth. And he is. But let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is alive and well on this planet Earth. And God is alive and well on this planet Earth. And His Bible, His Word is alive and well. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word will not pass away. Praise God. And evidence here, we have the evidence in our hands that there is a God that loves us and cares for us. Evidence, proof, evidence. Providence overshadowing, looking out after us, going ahead of us, preparing for us, putting blessings ahead of us. Can I tell you that God has already been in all of your tomorrows?
Yes.
Come on now.
Amen.
God has already been in all of your tomorrows because God was from beginning to beginning, from beginning to beginning. I mean, God's always been God. He didn't just wake up one morning and start saying, I'm going to be God today. He's always been God. And He is a big God. Praise God. And this diabolical spirit that's working, His imps, the third that He took with Him, they're demons and they're demonic. Yes, they're demonic and they're demons. That's the underworld. And then there's the celestial world that God has ministering. Listen to me. Angels are ministering spirits that are sent. Read your Bible. That are sent from the presence of God. Praise God. I remember Sister Gail Myers was a missionary that I went to Mexico with when I was just saved, 16 years of age. And I went down to Mexico. And I went down there, and I remember her telling us the story of maybe, I don't know if it was her, but a missionary was down in one of down in South America, and they had a tent set. And that night, the bandits had come all around, hiding, gonna storm and steal the money, disrupt the service, and just do away with it. And just, I mean, there's going to come. Well, some, you know, the next day, nothing had happened. And they came down peacefully to the missionary and said, "Oh my, we're bandits, we're robbers. We were coming last night to rob you and to steal from you, tear your tent up and beat up on the Christians. But just as soon as we started coming, there was an army marched in and started marching around the tent. Marching, we got afraid that we couldn't battle against them. We could not battle against them." She said, "There was no army." "Oh yeah, we saw them. We saw them." "Oh no, there was no army." "What is it?" "Providence." You know why? The Bible said He encamps about those that fear God. If we could look tonight in the spirit world that's around us. Oh, if we could just see right here tonight. There are angels in this room. Now don't look to your wife and say, "I know you are one." There's angels around this room tonight. There's angels in this room tonight. There's angels going to get on your car and protect you till you get home tonight. Oh, hallelujah. That is nothing but the providence of God. Providence. We do not hear enough about the providence of God and what He is doing and overshadowing for us. He is proving, providing evidence every day of our life. Praise God. Bud Houghton had surgery yesterday morning. I text Bud at 6:30. I was in my study praying for him. This is how I prayed. I said, "Father God, I bring Bud Houghton, my friend, to you today. God, I pray that the presence of God will be in that room. I pray for every attendant. I pray for every nurse. I pray that the doctor's hands will be guided to perform the surgery like it needs to be performed. And God, I ask for a speedy recovery in Jesus' name. And I call it done." I sent that to Bud. I called Bud today and he called me last night and I missed his call. I called him today and I said, "Bud, I'm just checking on you." He said, "Oh, Rob," he said, "let me tell you. I'm telling you, God is still on the throne." I said, "Tell me about it, Bud. Tell me about it, Bud." He said, "I went into that room yesterday to get that surgery done. And Terry said, 'Doctor, I want to pray over this surgery before you start.'" That doctor went running over to Terry and got her hands and said, "Let's pray right now. Let's pray over this right now." Praise God. And they begin to pray, and they begin to pray, and they got through praying, and the doctor left, and Bud's telling me the story. He went into the room to think about the surgery that Bud was to have, and he couldn't get in. And he said, "I waited there and I prayed for direction. This is the doctor to direct me." And all of a sudden, like a light bulb, I'm telling you, just like Bud told me, like a light bulb came up and I knew exactly. He showed me the heart and he showed me the procedure on what to do to the man's heart. And he went back and he said, "Terry, we are ready. Let's do this surgery." Went in there and they started working on Bud. One capillary, one vein was all that was left. And he said it was just nearly closed. And he said, "As I was beginning to work on it, it closed down. Would have killed him. And he said, I was able to open it back up real quick. And I began to do the surgery and I began to work. And he said, I sensed that there was an all power overshadowing this surgery. And he said, we performed exactly what we was to do. And he came out and he told Bud, he said, I want to tell you, Bud. He said, I've been doing surgery for a long time. Until about 15 years ago, I didn't believe in this prayer stuff and this faith stuff. But I am a prayer man. I'm a man of faith. I'm a doctor of faith." And he said, "Let me tell you, when I got in there this morning and I opened up that and looked inside of you, there was a vein closing. It was the only one you had left and you would have died. What the doctors told Bud. You were hanging by a thread. You were hanging by a thread." And he said, "We got everything cleared up. I knew exactly. I seen it. What I seen your heart My heart went to your heart and my mind, and I knew exactly what we were to do. And I'm telling you, he said, bud, we got it taken care of. You'll be better than you have ever been in your life. It is done. He said, I felt like somebody was guiding my hands. He didn't know what I had prayed until he talked to me tonight. He said, I felt like someone was guiding my hands. And that's when that was the prayer Terry prayed when she got him by the hand and said, God, guide the hands of this doctor today that he will perform the surgery. I said, bud, I sent you that text and that's the way I prayed. He said, I want to tell you, that doctor came out and he said, I want to tell you, it wasn't me that done the surgery today. It was a great physician that stepped into that surgery room and he did the surgery. Somebody ought to get excited that there is a providential hand of God in everything we do. But you want to gripe about what didn't happen and versus what is going to happen. And Bud said, Robert, I'm telling you, I'm so excited. We're going to Canada in just a few days. He said, man, I love you. I said, Bud, I'm going to tell that story tonight, preaching about the providential hand of God. I was praying this afternoon, had my music going. I said, Lord, I'll never tell it big enough tonight. I got to thinking about providence. I got to thinking about Abraham. To give up his begotten, his only son. Isn't that something? He had others. This is what God said. Go offer up your only son. Did you ever notice that? Well, he had Hagar's boy. Come on now. You know he had Hagar's son by the flesh. He was a child of the flesh, always will be. He's the problem person in the Middle East right now. They're the ones that shooting missiles over to Israel right now. It's those people because they hate the children of the Spirit. Back then, still today. And I got to playing that in my mind and praying over that today. And I said, God, how that worked out was amazing. And I can see old Abraham going up that hillside with that burrow and that wood on Isaac's back, typifying Christ, up to that, I preached it at Foster Grove many years ago on a fifth Sunday, the supreme climb. And just about the time he'd bring the dagger down, providence. When Abraham, this is the way I say it, other guys preach it different ways, I love to say it this way, when Abraham started up that mountain, God had already kind of released. And on the other side of the mountain, here come providence. Yeah. Here goes Abraham. Here comes providence. Here goes Abraham. Here comes providence. Here goes Abraham. See, you worried about what your checkbook looks like. And you don't know how big your providence God is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Hello? Don't you take God off of his throne. And say, well, that's not going to happen. That'll never happen. That'll never take place. I am evidence tonight that there is a God in heaven above. Punch him hard. Punch someone right beside you and tell them you are evidence that there is a God that is in heaven.
Amen.
Praise God. Providence. Well, I got 29 points and I only got down to 4 on my notes. Providence. There's somebody watching out over you. There's somebody's, in the Old Testament, it would say the hand of the Lord is upon them. The hand of the Lord is upon them. But now it's the Spirit of God that's inside of us. Providence. Overshadowing, overlooking us, looking out after us. See, the Bible said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's providence. Providence tells me in Psalms 91, if I dwell in the secret place of the providence, the Most High. What else does it say? If I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I'm waiting for someone to quote the rest of Psalms 91 and 1. Come on. Thank you, Miss Paula. Come on, guys. We've got to get in the Bible more. I mean, we got to learn these things. Learn the scriptures. You're going to need them. We got to get in there. Memorize the scriptures. You memorize everything else. You know when your movie comes on. You know when your best show comes on. You know what channel it's on. Let's memorize the scriptures. Because what you memorize, you utilize. No wonder Jesus said, it is written. It is written. When he comes to you with your problems, bringing you problems, you just step aside and you say, Providence, take care of my problem. Providence, take care of my problem. Providence, take care of my problem. And the next time, oh, doubt knocks at your door, send faith to answer it. Amen. There is a providential hand of God in our life, working for us, moving for us, and helping us. Father God, thank you tonight. Thank you tonight for providence, Lord. Thank you for providence, God. We have not even scratched the surface. We've not preached it big enough. We've not preached it great enough tonight, God. But we, I hope, did our best. God, thank you for providence. Thank you for your all help all the time. Lord, thank you for the proof and the evidence that you are alive and well. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Praise God.